I invite you to turn your Bibles, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. On Sunday evenings lately, we've been taking a look at the crowns that are promised by our Lord. The crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, or the soul winner's crown. And I think an aspect of crowns is that they are incorruptible. It doesn't seem that there is a crown called incorruptible, but a facet, an aspect of the crowns that we are need to be reminded of, that the Lord gives crowns that are incorruptible. What we want to do tonight, and I just was impressed of the Lord not to try to cram this all into one night. I appreciate you being here. I know most of you drive a good piece away, all of you working, going to school and all those things. I'm sensitive. I try to be sensitive to what we can cover and what we can get and what will be edifying and not drown you. I get excited about a thing, and it's fresh to me. It's new to you from the standpoint of me delivering the message, and I'm trying to be aware of that and just try to give it in bites that'll be edifying and profitable. And so the Lord and just impressed me about how to do that here tonight. And so we'll be looking at this, Lord willing, over the course of a few nights. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 11. The Lord Jesus here speaking to this church. Let me catch up with you here. Revelation 3. The churches of Asia Minor. He is making this declaration to Brother John on the Isle of Patmos. And to the church in Philadelphia, he tells John to write these things. Verse number 11, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So we've taken a look at the crowns that are promised us and that are promised the children of God, four different things, four different aspects of living and service. And we have this warning to this church and to you and me that hold fast what we have, that no man take our crown. Okay, so we need to be aware that these are the words of the Lord Jesus, okay? These are the words of the Lord Jesus. This is a warning from the Lord Jesus. No man take thy crown. Can a man take your crown? can someone take your crown? Well, not physically. I think we can understand that. No one in glory is going to come over to you and pull your crown off your head, are they? I mean, we know that, right? Matthew 6, verse 20 there in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So nobody can take our crown from us. If we have one, the Lord gives us one, can they? So physically, so this is not physically, is it? Nor is not talking about once you and I are with our Lord eternally, having been rewarded by our Lord. So where and when then? Where and when? Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The warning is in the scripture, isn't it? Obviously, you see that, you read that for yourself. And what is the scripture for? The scripture is for now, this time of faith, isn't it? I mean, that's the scripture, the word of God will stand forever. But you and I, we really, really need it now because we walk by faith as we know and is affirmed in the scripture. So knowing that this is, the warning is in the scripture and the scripture is for now, it's a warning for us now in it, isn't it? This warning is for while we are here on this earth. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So physically, that's not what it's talking about. Somebody coming in glory and taking our crown and running off with it. Like I've mentioned to you, in glory, you can take your crown, maybe lay it down, whatever you're doing, and then come back in 1,000 years and it'll still be there. Nobody's going to steal it. Or most likely somebody will bring it to you, all right? And just thinking about that, I mean, we don't understand completely how that's going to be, but it is going to be a physical existence on a physical earth made by our Lord, and there's no sin there. But it's not talking about that. And so it's for this time that we live here on earth that a man can take our crown. And so hold fast what you have, that no man take thy crown. That's what the Lord Jesus has said. If our Lord warns of it, then please know a man can take our crown while we live here on earth. And so we need to know that. So what we want to do is how can someone take our crown? How can a man take our crown? How can a crown be taken from us? Well, there's two passages that I believe are connected and related to this. And so what I want us to do tonight is take a look here in 2 Colossians chapter 2. 2 Colossians chapter 2. And let us walk through this passage and pray that the Lord would help us to understand in a practical manner. You know, I talked to you here recently in a message here in the last month or so about, you know, a lot of preaching is done in generalities. And, you know, sometimes when it's done in generalities, particular things are missed, obviously, because it's in generalities. But things are different when we get particular, aren't we? Someone just recently said, you know, I hear men preach, I hear our brethren preach in generalities, but they don't tell me in particular how to do or follow a thing. And I've had that same complaint myself. And so I want to be particular. I want to be particular as the scripture is. And in this subject, this of taking the threat of a man taking our crown away, that we truly understand practically in day to day, hour to hour life, what we need to know and guard against and pursue. Okay. So here in Colossians chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse number 6, okay? And there's a passage here that ties this in with Revelation 3, where we read verse 11, and I'll point it out to you when we get there, okay? How can they take away our crown? As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You want your crown taken away? Don't do that. Don't walk in Christ. That's how our crown can be taken away, is by not walking in Christ. Do not do so. And you know what? You'll follow after the way of men. You'll follow after the way, the system of the world, not walking in Christ, and you'll have your crown taken away. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In the verse number 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. We talked about, preached about the faith here, made reference to that here last few services. As ye have been taught, that means to learn. If you're being taught, learn, okay? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. How can our crown be taken away? To not do so. To not do these things. To not be rooted. Brother Bobby led us in the song about going to the Lord in prayer. And I tell you what, that is a great aspect of our walk with our Lord, is taking our need and taking what He teaches us and taking what we don't understand to Him and saying, Lord, I need Your help with this. Lord, I don't understand this, but I know I need to understand this. Lord, I need to know what I need to know, and I need You to open it up to me. And Lord, I'm trying to consume your word from somebody that's really trying to consume his word, and I need you to speak to me through it and help me to get it and put it on my life. Take it to the Lord in prayer. We have woe, we have weariness, we have troubles, we have joys, we have needs, but we need the Lord's word put on our lives. So, you want your crown taken away? Don't be rooted. Don't be built up. Be comfortable with a status quo enough. What does rooted mean? It's not talking about superficial, is it? There's a lot of cedar trees up in Missouri, and some cedar trees around here. You know what the deal with the cedar tree is? It's got roots that are just on the surface. And if the wind gets stiff enough, that you'll see the taproot, it won't go down very far. We need to be rooted deep in the word of our Lord. You want your crown taken away? Don't be rooted. Don't be built up. Don't be established in the faith. Established in the faith. Need to know what the faith is. Need to learn more about what it is. You know, I pray that this is not the case, but we are subject to it. You know, I mentioned about the status quo. We can kind of think that, well, I've heard it before. I've got all that. I'm good enough in the Word of God. I've got enough of what I need. Listen, don't go there. Well, going there and having that attitude is immediate sliding back. We need to be going forward in our understanding and our pursuit of the Word of God. Not being teachable is a good way to have your crown taken away from you. To not be teachable. I've got enough. I don't need to be taught anything else. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Not abounding. You can get your crown taken away there. And not being a thankful child of God. I tell you what, if there's any people that are to be thankful, it's you and me. The children of God, put in one of his churches, I tell you, we need to be a thankful people. We need to be thankful we're not living in cardboard. But we need to be thankful we've been touched, most of all, we've been touched by the Lord in such a great way. How can we avoid our crown being taken away? Not doing these things. Verse 8, here's our connecting verse. Beware lest any man spoil you. What do you think about spoiled food? Stinks, doesn't it? It'll make you sick. It'll give you trouble, won't it? Spoiled food. Be careful. Men, the world, mankind can spoil you and me, can make us stink and rot in the things that we have been saved from. Spoil you through philosophy and vain, empty deception, vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments. You know what the rudiments are? That's down there in the base. That's down there, just down there. Down there in the nitty-gritty where it all starts. And you know what's down there for mankind? Nothing but blackness, darkness, deception, wickedness, and anti-God. Want to lose your crown? Want to have your crown taken away? Watch out for this philosophy and vain deceit. Watch out for the tradition of men. Watch out. And the thing is what will happen? We can find ourselves corrupted, and we can find our families corrupted, our children corrupted, our church corrupted, and our grandchildren corrupted. I mean, it can just go wide and far before you can even understand what has happened. Want your crown taken away? Do these things. Do these things. Verse number nine. For in him dwelleth, that is in Jesus. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Jesus is every bit of God that we need. Now, I'm not a Jesus only, okay? There were, back in the 70s, I think, 60s and 70s, and some of you that are old enough, you remember there were the Jesus only. I'm not a Jesus only, but understand that our Lord Jesus is our Savior. He's our mediator. He's our intercessor. And He is the way to the Father. And He works and uses the Spirit, and certainly in the context of the church, Jesus is the one by whom we are saved and by whom we have a relationship with God Almighty. So the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But you know what? Get away from that. Get away from that, and you can have your crown taken away, thinking that there's fullness in others or in another one or another way. Listen to what it says. And you are complete in Him. He's all we need, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Our Lord Jesus has taken our sins and cut them off of us and separated us from them as far as the east is from the west. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. What's it go on to say in verse 12? Buried with Him in baptism. We identify with Him. In His baptism, we are, by His baptism, we are saved. I'm not talking about when John baptized Him. I'm talking about what He did on the cross. I'm talking about what He did in the heart of the earth. I'm talking about what He did when He rose from the dead. Because He said, He declared there, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and oh, how I'm in a strait till it be accomplished. And that's after He was baptized by John. He's talking about His gospel. As our Lord suffered, bled, died, was buried, and rose again, we, His people, His children, were in Him. He was doing that, did that for us, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. How did He save you? Well, I know that He did, but I don't really know how He did it. But He's done it. Okay? You understand what I'm getting at? He's done so by His gospel. He's visited us with His Spirit. He's called us. He's convicted us. But how has He got the transaction done? From something that He did 1900 plus years ago to me up here in 1987. But He has. I believe Him and trust Him for it. By the faith of the operation of God. Having faith in what He has done, who hath raised Him from the dead. If He's raised His Son, the Lord Jesus took back His own life, He can take care of me, can't He? He can take care of you. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and that He fulfilled it, the law that did nothing but condemn you and me, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. It was done. It was done. Finished. When He said it is finished, it was finished. It was finished. For His people, and having spoiled principalities and powers, how about the principality and the power of death? It's universal amongst mankind. Came because of sin. I mean, it's stronger than gravity, and you know how strong gravity is, right? And I tell you what, our Lord went right into death and blew it up for His people. Satan. I was talking to somebody here recently about Satan. Satan, no doubt, wanted the Lord to do anything or die anywhere or just do anything else but die on the cross, be buried and raised from the dead. But Satan couldn't touch him. He tried, I believe. I believe he tried, but he could not. Even if you will, looking at the power of sin, one sin against God condemned us all to be sinners and separated from our Creator. One. And then brought a multitude of sins and transgression against God. And then Jesus took the sins of his people. What a load that was. And he paid for it. He took care of it, didn't he? I mean, he says here, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made, if Satan and all the fallen angels were working against Jesus to walk to Calvary, they did not, could not, never could, would stop him. They couldn't do it. They didn't do it. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. How can they take away our crown? How can a man take away our crown? Cause us to forget what Jesus has done for us. Buying into that. But it's not that big a deal. That the things of this world and the way of this world is something better than our Lord Jesus, who is our everything. Our everything. Our everything. Over here in our text passage in Revelation 3, let's go over here and walk through this and we'll close. That we let's understand about this of taking away our crown. There again, there in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's the same thing as taking away our crown. It's in the same zip code. Revelation 3. Verse number 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. How can our crown be taken away? By not hearkening to the one speaking that has all the power. Our Lord Jesus has all the power. He opens a thing, it can't be shut. He shuts down and locks down a thing, it can't be opened. And then would we, as his children, dare take another track, another way, than following him and being obedient to him? I know thy works, he says to this church in Philadelphia, and he knows yours and mine too. He knows the works of Olmsted Baptist Church indeed. Behold, he tells them at Philadelphia, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. How can our crown be taken away? By not keeping his word. And by denying his name. Verse number 9. Behold, his promise to this church, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not. And what this is a reference to those that are, it's a reference to, like in the scripture, there's a place in the scripture that talks about the true Israel. Those that believe, Those are that are the Lord's. And it's not talking about what the Lord's going to do with Israel as a nation. It's talking about the Lord's children and those that the Lord has saved, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. How can our crown be taken away? By not loving the one who loved us first, by obedience to him. He's made very clear that obeying him is the way to show to love them, the way that we show we love him. And he says here, I will do this, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You know, that right there, I think that right there, it's very few words. I am guilty of reading over it very quick. But I tell you what, I want you to meditate upon this, the word of my patience. Patience in the scripture, in the New Testament scriptures, is talking about cheerful, enduring continuance. It's talking about bearing up under a load and waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. What I like, what it says there in Ephesians about putting on the full armor of God that we might stand, and having done all to stand. I kind of liken that to the child of God being equipped on that armor. Here's what I see in my mind. There on the rock that is the Lord Jesus, equipped with this armor, and the storm of everything, the fiery darts of the wicked and the assail of the world and mankind and all that which is against the Lord is like a fierce wind blowing. And that child of God standing on the rock, standing in Jesus, standing equipped with that armor, stands there, represents what is true and what is divine, what is pure, who is holy, our Lord Jesus. And that blows and that rages and that carries on, and they stand in their Savior. You know, being on a rock and standing in a physical storm while the lightning is flashing and while the rain is pummeling down, and being there, if you will, on a shore with the waves crashing, would physically be a terrifying thing. But the patience, what's it say? What's he say here? The patience, the word of his patience, is that he's made promises to his children. He will sustain, he will help, he will strengthen, he will lead, he will guide, he will direct, he will cause to endure. And the child of God stands there believing that. Even when it looks like the whole place is going to fall apart, they stand there in their Lord. He says to this church, what? He says in verse 8 that they have little strength, but they've kept his word. Well, I want to be real strong and keep his word. Well, there at Philadelphia, they had a little bit of strength, but they went ahead and kept what he said. That patience, the word of patience, trusting in what the Lord has said, even if it looks like everything looks like it's going to take us under. Looking to him. You know how the Lord is glorified? I was talking to somebody about this week. I believe it was. You know how the Lord is worshiped? You know, we see something coming and we pray about it, which we should. And we see it getting closer and we should pray. And we should rest and trust in our Lord, looking for his blessing. But you know what? As you and I get closer and closer and closer to this thing that is looming that we think we know about, and there's no answer. There's no solution. And it's coming up here right to time where we think it's going to come apart, unravel, fall apart, blow up, whatever it's going to do. Bad news. And you know what? You know what? As we go on and we get closer and we get closer and we get closer and we're asking the Lord, we're praying to the Lord. We know the Lord's got to do something. We're praying that the Lord would do something, that He would work. You know what? As we get closer and closer and closer in time to that thing, where seemingly there's no answer from the Lord, He is more and more, I believe, glorified in us just looking to Him and having faith in Him, even if we pass by into the thing, into the storm, having not received an answer from Him. Because see, it's by faith that we are going into that time. See, out here is easier, isn't it? Because it's down here. But see, rather than coming down here and then just coming unraveled and running circles, screaming and shouting, which is my tendency to do, because I want an answer well in advance to keep me comfortable. But you know what? Sometimes it's just, we're going to go into whatever it is. And we need to have faith in our Lord then too. And He's glorified even more in that when we trust Him when it looks impossible for us. The faith in keeping the word of His patience. You know how you and I can have our crown taken away? But not keeping the word of His patience. Verse number 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. Hold that fast which thou hast. What do you have? Hold it fast. Don't let it slip, as it tells us in Hebrews, that no man take thy crown. He says, do not go backwards. Hold fast that which thou hast. Hold fast which thou hast. He said, I'm coming quickly, that no man take thy crown. If we don't have hold fast what we have, we can have our crown taken away. It's easy to let things slip. But we don't need to let things slip. And then verse number 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, number one, and he shall go no more out. And number two, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Three promises from the Lord. Two promises from the Lord, with a three-faceted second point. I will make him a pillar, and I'll write upon him the name of my God and my city and New Jerusalem. And I will get right on him my new name. You know what? If you and I want our crown to be taken away, or how can our crown be taken away? It can be so by not overcoming in obedience to him. Look at the promises. Look at the promises there. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. What a promise. What a promise. He'll go no more out. Number two, I'll write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, and I will write upon him my new name to the overcomers. And you know where the overcomers are? In the Lord's churches. I mean, these are epistles to the Lord's churches. You want your crown taken away? Don't be an overcomer in obedience to him. Number 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How can our crown be taken away? Begin by not hearkening to his voice. Our Lord Jesus, may we keep our hearts, our minds, our eyes fixed upon him. Do not let anyone take away your crown.